Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And I think for this week, we need to focus on the South African inflation data that was released for September. The number certainly surprising a little bit on the upside, with inflation moving to 5.4%. And clearly there are some risks in the short term, particularly around the petrol price. The second element I think we need to focus on is some of the more recent developments in the US, especially the speech by Jerome Powell during the course of last week, as well as some of the economic data that continues to surprise on the upside. What in particular does that mean for interest rates? So let's start with a discussion on South Africa's inflation rate. The September number increased by 0.6% month on month, which is on the high side. Typically, South Africa's inflation rate would be expected to increase about 0.3-0.4%, so 0.6% elevated. Not too much of a surprise, given that a key component of that 0.6% increase related to the petrol price increase. We had a monster increase in the month, and that contributed 0.4 of the 0.6% increase. So that explains most of what pushed up inflation during the month. There was another element that surprised, and that was the food component. I'd expected food to remain largely unchanged in the month, but unfortunately, it increased a little bit more than that, contributing 0.1 of the 0.6%. That doesn't mean that the headline inflation rate for food is not moderating, it continues to slow. But obviously the pace of moderation is a little bit disappointing. So we've got food inflation sitting at 8% year on year. Obviously that's down quite a lot from where it was earlier in this year. It was up at about the 14-15% level. So it's come down meaningfully, but we had hoped that the number would have been lower by now. So food inflation proving to be a little bit sticky. And I would say those two key elements is really what elevated our inflation rate. So the overall rate of inflation went from 4.8% to 5.4%. And then unfortunately, next month, we're going to see another big petrol price increase impact the data. That was announced a little while ago, so we know that is coming, and obviously that could push inflation even higher. And at this stage, we expect South Africa's inflation rate to be 5.6% next month. The problem for the Reserve Bank is that is uncomfortably close to 6%, and clearly the Reserve Bank will take that into account when they make their interest rate decision towards the end of November. The encouraging news about our inflation data is the core inflation rate. So if you look at core inflation, that's surprised on the downside, falling to 4.5% right at the midpoint of the inflation target. So from the Reserve Bank's perspective, you can make the argument that the underlying level of inflation is well under control. I think that's a valid argument. But there are some risks, and those risks relate to the petrol price, the exchange rate, which has been under pressure, relates to the recent increase in electricity prices, and I guess some upward pressure on wages. And the Reserve Bank would feel that some of those pressure points may well reflect in a reacceleration of inflation. And with the headline number going above 5%, it'll make them nervous. It doesn't automatically mean that they'll hike rates again in November. I think it is going to be a close call, kind of a 50-50 call, if you like, given what the market is pricing. But irrespective of what they do in November, the Reserve Bank is going to keep stressing, keep highlighting that if inflation doesn't moderate meaningfully, then they will be forced to hike rates further. And I think that's going to be the overarching message from the Reserve Bank for the remainder of this year. Lastly, I think it's useful to discuss some of the economic data that was released out of the US last week. In general, the US economic data continues to surprise on the upside. People have been revising up their GDP estimates for both this year and next year. In total, most people think that the US economy will grow at just over 2% this year, slowing to slightly above 1% during the course of next year. But there isn't really an expectation that the US economy is going to go into a recession despite the elevated interest rates. And the reason is that key areas of the US economy remain incredibly resilient. So last week we had the retail sales data for October. That came out with a growth rate of 0.7%. The 0.7 is almost twice what the consensus forecast was, suggesting that households are willing to keep shopping and have the finances to do just that. The other data point that came out was the weekly jobless claims, surprising on the downside. Jobless claims fell below 200,000, which is remarkably strong, suggesting the labor market remains resilient. The unemployment rate remains low, and you would expect another solid increase in job gains when we get the next labor market report. So if the labor market is strong, if consumer spending is strong, then ultimately the US economy remains buoyant. There were some data points that were a bit weaker, certainly on the housing market. Things like existing home sales have surprised on the downside. And I guess some of the other housing elements are a little bit weaker. You would also point to the leading economic indicator, which has now declined for 18 consecutive months. And on the face of it, would suggest that the US economy is going into recession. But clearly, that isn't borne out by the broad range of US economic data. The industrial production data also came out last week. It surprised a little bit on the upside, but overall, you would say that industrial production is generally moving sideways and isn't especially buoyant. So you end up concluding that anything on the production side, the housing side of the US economy is softer, is weakening, is responding to the interest rates that have gone up. Whereas anything on the services side, the consumer side, that those elements remain fairly robust, fairly buoyant, and that's what's giving the US economy its strength. So what does that mean for interest rates? Well, on the face of it, it would suggest that interest rates are not yet proving to be effective, and that having increased interest rates substantially, you would have assumed that the consumer would be weakening, that retail sales would be declining. And so it brings into question whether or not the Federal Reserve has hiked rates enough. It could also just simply be that interest rates are high enough in the US, but we've got to give it more time to have the desired effect. And I think that sets up an ongoing dilemma for the Federal Reserve. Last week, Jerome Powell seemed to be suggesting that because bond yields have gone up in recent months, there's no need necessarily to increase interest rates further. In effect, the bond yield hike has essentially done part of the work of an interest rate increase, and so maybe when they meet in November, they can leave rates unchanged. But there's no doubt that the Federal Reserve will remain nervous. The Federal Reserve will continue to warn that if inflation doesn't moderate, they are willing to increase interest rates further. And I think markets will remain on edge until you see a clear moderation in the performance of the US economy. In particular, consumer spending softens, the labor market weakens, and ultimately wages and inflation is brought more fully under control. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.